So great to see you today. We've had a wonderful VBS this week. Our kids have done great. It's been so great to get to know some of your children, and we just had so much fun learning about the Lord and all that He has planned for us. And so that was good times. I thought I was going to escape the pie in the face this year, but somehow it always circles back to me. I think Lisa has this kind of motto, if I'm getting a pie, he's getting a pie. But I kept, of course, you took one for the team a couple years ago because the boys kept losing. But this year, we raised a little over $1,100 at VBS. And the funds, I know, isn't that amazing? Isn't that just awesome? And the funds are going to go to helping families in Guatemala. As some of you know, there's about 20 of us here at Bear Creek going to serve in Guatemala, help build homes, and work with families and children. And so be praying for us. As a matter of fact, I think Chad is going to be pulling some people up to pray at the end of the service for that. But welcome. I'm glad all of you are here. And you couldn't have picked a better Sunday. We are still in the wild, as you can see. We got giraffes and elephants in the room. Last week, Jacob Nolte said, let's talk about the elephant in the room. And so, we have been going through this series called Finding Your Sweet Spot. And the first week, and I'm going to show this slide up here just to remind you of some of the things, but week number one, we found that you are God's workmanship created for His purpose. Now, look, whether you have a relationship with Him or not, you are still His creation. Whether you believe that or not, you are still His creation, and He created you for a purpose. And until you get aligned with that, life will never make sense. Until you come to understand that, life will never make sense. He has a purpose. He has a plan for you. He has roles for us to play. He has designed us in ways put us here for a reason. And we talked about that the first week. The week after that, we talked that and we shared that you are uniquely talented for the assignment God has for you. And so He has given us all natural gifts, or natural abilities, I should say, natural talents. And so we're all born with them. And you know some of your talents. You know some of the abilities that you have, some of your uniqueness, some of the things that you're good at that other people may not be good at. And so He's given us those natural abilities. Well, today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts, because when you come to know the Lord, every Christian, every person who has trusted Christ as Lord and Savior has a spiritual gift. And so we're born with natural abilities, okay? But that's different. When we're born again, Jesus talks about this in John chapter 3, that you must be born again. When we are born again and we place our trust in Jesus Christ, and we come to know Him and have new life in Him, the Bible says that He puts His Spirit in us, right? That our life, that all things become new, that we're a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, right? And the new has come. And when this new comes, He gives us these spiritual gifts. And I'm just looking forward. I have been all week to talk about this, but these are our gifts. They are not for our own benefit. They are aimed at building others up and building up the body of Christ, building up other believers in His church. And so Scripture says this, they are for the common good, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, it tells us, we are to excel in these gifts that build up the church. And so they're very important. They're talked about several times in the New Testament. And here's one thing I want you to understand. That, of course, these things, they're not for our own benefit. They're aimed, really, at serving other people, building them up in the faith, encouraging them in the faith and in their gifting. That's what our gifts are for. But when we do this, we start to discover some things. When we start using and operating in our giftings, you'll experience a greater sense of your calling. Look, all of us have a calling as believers, okay? We're all called to this faith as believers. God found us. We didn't find him, all right? He called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We now live this new life, and we are called. But you'll get a greater sense of your calling once you start operating in your spiritual gifts. You'll have a renewed passion for the gospel. You'll start to understand more and more why God put you here. What is he going to use you for in the church? How is he going to work and operate in your life? What kind of instrument are you in his hands? You begin to see things like this, and it begins to encourage you. And then you'll have a greater connection to God and his work. There's just something that happens, and it happened to me. You know, I play the guitar. I remember a long time ago, a friend, this is when I first became a Christian, 1996. I was 26 years old, 28 years old, I think it was. Anyway, and a guy came to me not long after I just started going to church, and he's like, "Hey, I heard you play guitar. Why don't you come play some Jesus music in prison with me?" And I said, "I don't even know any Christian songs." And he says, "Well, figure out a couple of them and then come and play." And so I did. And so I started using that natural ability, that skill that I had developed. Okay, so that's a natural ability. I was using that for God's glory. But then God began to pull out some of my giftings. Okay, the gift of mercy, the gift of encouragement. We'll talk about some of these today. And as he did that, I saw young people in prison coming to me and conversing with me about God. And I really didn't have a whole lot of answers at that time, okay? But God began to do his work and begin to encourage me with my gifting. So we know that through Scripture and through this and through all of this, that every believer is equipped with a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit has equipped you, and you have been given this mission and this calling. And God gives you the power to complete the work that he has prescribed for you on this earth. And look, I remind you of this all the time, and I know it's getting kind of cliche with me, but we are only here for a limited time. And you don't know when your expiration date's going to happen, right? But don't you want to live the life that you really always wanted to live? Well, God is holding it in his hand, okay? And sometimes what happens is we go, "This is my life, and I'm going to figure this out on my own. I'm going to do it myself." Well, he has a greater life, right? And he's holding it in his hand. And what it's going to take is for us to approach him. And it is a discovering of these spiritual gifts. You're going to find that these gifts will lie dormant, and they could lie dormant the rest of your life until you are willing and desiring to approach him and see him activate those gifts in your life. So let's go to Romans chapter 12 today. Romans chapter 12, we're going to be in starting in verse 1. Just to give you some background as you're turning there, I want you to know in the book of Romans, Paul is writing to this church in Rome, and he's trying to encourage them. And what he did in chapters 1 through 11 is he's laying out some really solid theological truths. And if you know the book of Romans, it's pretty deep theology in chapters 1 through 11. But then he makes this shift in chapter 12. And from chapter 12 to 16, he talks about some of these practical ways to apply ourselves to ministry and some practical things that we can do as believers to grow up in the faith. And so in chapter 12, verse 1, when he uses the word therefore, you're going to see this in just a minute, he's really saying, in light of all of these spiritual truths I just shared with you, these are some things that that you should be doing. And so let's begin, chapter 12, verse 1. You're going to see this on the screen. If you didn't bring your Bible with you today, you'll see this on the screen behind me. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, there's the word, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God. And so he's talking to these believers, and he's making this appeal. I'm appealing to you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, when he talks about the body, he's talking about the body of Christ, the collection of believers, right? The body of Christ. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts. Here we are talking about the spiritual gifts. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. In the one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. I really like how Paul has laid this out. What he's saying is, to live out these truths, to effectively be the body of Christ, you'll need to look at these three things. Number one, your life. You'll need to really just look at your life. Number two, your attitude. And number three, your roles. And we're going to see how this plays out. So let's look at that. He says at the beginning, you have to look at your life. The Christian life is sacrificial. And he says, we are to present ourselves, our bodies, these physical bodies on earth, okay? And remember that when you die, your body goes back to the earth, right? It is your spirit that goes to heaven. But your body goes back to the earth. So while you're here and while you're functioning and operating in this body, right? You are to live in such a way, you are to live as a living sacrifice. Well, what does that mean, living sacrifice? Well, sacrifices are usually dead, right? We put them on the altar. Well, what he wants us to do is he wants to put our lives on the altar of God and say, look, God, I'm living here on this earth. And as I live, I want to live sacrificially to you. I want to be a living sacrifice. And that means you have to be willing to lay some important things down, and you have to be willing to pick up some new important things. And that's hard. Our new aim is a life that seeks to please God. And he says, holy and acceptable to God. Did you notice that? So we present our bodies, we present these lives, these bodies as a living sacrifice. It's a sacrificial lifestyle, right? It's not a me, and what can I get out of it lifestyle. It's a sacrificial lifestyle. That's why it's called a sacrifice, right? It's laying it down and saying, it's not about me anymore, Lord. It's about me giving up myself that I may live for you, to lay that life down. And it's not just a life that I lay down, but it's aimed at being holy and acceptable to God. In other words, a life that pleases him. And it's funny because I had some of the older kids yesterday or the other day at VBS, and we sat down, and I was talking to them about salvation. And I just asked them, I said, have you trusted Jesus? And every one of the ones I was sitting with did. And I says, well, here's a good marker to know if you really have trusted Christ. Do you have a desire to please God? A desire to please God. Not always perfect, right? Not always in line, but a true desire in your heart to please him. Because if you don't, it's a good marker or an indicator that something's wrong with this faith. Doesn't necessarily mean that you are lost or don't have a relationship with God, but it definitely, definitely means something is wrong. And so so number one, he talks about your life, and your life is a living sacrifice. And listen, let me tell you some of the things I had to do when I came to know Christ. And I didn't even learn this stuff. I just knew there was things I had to get rid of. How many of y'all have been there before? You knew that when you entered into this life, there were some things that you had to put off. And so you probably have heard me tell the story. I wrote some letters to my friends, and I said, man, I can't hang out with you anymore, right? And they all thought I was weird, but I knew I had to dump the clowns, right? So I can begin living a new life. And begin to make the effective changes. He talks about a life that's being transformed. Did you catch that in this passage? He says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And so I had to understand what it was to be transformed. And I had to put some things down. I had to put my lifestyle down, okay? I was not only around the wrong people, but I was doing the wrong things, and I was living for myself and for self-pleasure. And so I had to sacrificially lay those things down. And there were hard decisions to make. That's what a sacrifice is. It's hard. You want to hold on, but it's hard. And it's like, here, Lord, you're worth more. Here, God, you're of greater value. Here, God, I'm just going to lay this down, even though it's important to me. And I didn't want to give some of these things up, but I wanted him more. And I thought back when I was 19 years old, I trusted, I came forward at church and gave my life to Jesus. But I just lived for myself from that point to the point of 1996 when I was pulled over for a DUI. And God began to work in my life. And I was willing to be a living sacrifice. I didn't even know this scripture, but I started to shed things that were important to me because he was more important. And look, this is some groundwork that Paul's laying, okay? Again, he just gets through talking about theological truths, right? And he's saying, okay, you want to live it? Here's how you live it. This is your life. Your life now is a sacrificial life. It's a life of sacrifice. You really want to live this? This is what it's going to look like. So Paul is seeing the same thing in the church that we see in the church today. So he divides this out. This is a life that involves sacrifice. You cannot conform your life to the patterns of this world any longer. Your mind has to be renewed, and you have to be transformed. Transformed into what? Transformed into Christ-likeness. See, God set Jesus up not to just be a sacrifice, to die on the cross for us, but he also set him up to be the ultimate example for us, that when we look at the person and works of Christ, we learn much, right? And we hold him up in high esteem, and he is our ultimate example. Holy and pleasing to him means we are aiming to live and be like Christ. And so what Paul is doing here is he's giving them a picture of this changed life, of this transformed life. And he tells them the next thing that we must transform is your attitude, our attitudes. In verse 3, he warns them. He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. I think this is a big mistake a lot of us think. We think a little bit too much of ourselves. I like this term. We should always have a healthy self-image, right? But a lot of people say, you know, we need to have a high self-esteem. But in America, the last thing we need to do is esteem ourselves more, right? The last thing we need to do is puff ourselves up and esteem ourselves more. The Bible says that when we come low, he brings us high, okay? He says, these are the ones that I esteem, those who are contrite in spirit, humble, and tremble at my words. That's Isaiah 66. And so the ones that come low, those are the ones that I esteem. And so he says, look out. And Paul's warning them. He says, look, live a sacrificial life. Take on the attitude of humility, not self-exalting. And he uses this word, sober judgment. You see that? He says, for grace you have been, for by the grace given to me, this is Paul speaking, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, a clear head, not a head that's has improper motives or wrong motives, but a clear head that just says, Lord, it doesn't really matter what I want. What do you want? That's a clear head. And so again, he's prepping them. And we're about to start talking about spiritual gifts here. But let me just ask you a question. Does your life reflect a life of sacrifice? Does your Christian life reflect a life of sacrifice? Where is your attitude in all of this? Has your motives changed at all? Where are you in this walk? So then we come to the final point, and this is where we're going to land with spiritual gifts. And Paul tells them in Romans 12:4, he says, for as in one body, one collection of people, a body of believers, body of Christ, it's called, we have many members. And so just like in Bear Creek, okay, this is a body of believers, right? And inside this body of believers, there are many members. And then he says, and the members do not all have the same function. And so you don't have the same function that I have. Okay, I don't have the same function as Chad has down here, okay? And so we all have different functions. We're this body, this collection of believers, but there's some different functions involved with this. And so let me just stop here and say, don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that that guy that speaks in front of us up there at the pulpit, his gifts are more important than mine. Okay, don't fall into that trap. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that that I'm the only minister here, okay? Because when you are called to follow Christ, you are called to ministry. You are called to be ministers of the gospel with your unique gifting, all right? And so, and this is described in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, but the leaders, which would be the apostles and the pastors, the evangelists, okay, are to build up the body of Christ for ministry. And so the leaders would be the administers, and the congregation are the ministers. And so you are a minister. Okay, maybe I should get you one of those little collar things. Okay, we'll get you all set up next week. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see this. And so let me just kind of walk through this. You're going to see it on the screen. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So it's not just one person, but of many. And if the foot says, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, the people, each one of them, as he chooses, not as we choose, right? Verse 19, if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. See, we are one body. We have many parts. We have different functions in this body. Why? It's to build up the body of Christ. We're going to talk about that more. But do you see that what he's saying here? If the foot says to the hand, I'm not a hand, so I don't matter, or I don't belong. And if the ear says, I'm not an eye, and so I don't matter. Okay, so think about your body, all right? And what he's saying is your eyeball is saying to your foot, or your eyeball is saying to your ear, hey, look, I wish I were an ear. Hey, I wish I were a foot. I don't belong here. The foot has some really cool, fantastic activity down there. It gets to walk around, and it's really, and look, this is what happens sometimes in church, is we start pointing at other people's giftings, and we say, I want that. Why am I not like that? I don't even belong in this body because I don't have amazing gifts like that. And I don't know, I don't have the gift of knowledge, and I don't know the Bible like that. And I don't have the gift of teaching, and I don't know the Bible like that. And so what we do is we put ourselves down, then we build a box and we sit it out, okay? And what I wanna say to Bear Creek is no more. No more sitting it out. No more sitting it out. God has gifted you and we need you. We need you to be an active part of this body. God wants to do great things. I keep saying this. This little metal building on the side of this highway in a town of about 1,100 people, God wants to do great and mighty things through this place. And it won't happen unless people will engage their spiritual gifts, understand that they're here for a purpose, and be a part of this body. And so I found myself doing some of these things early on in my faith. And I was a part of a church that really elevated the teaching gifts and things and didn't really give good opportunity for people in other areas. And look, we're not going to do that because that's not biblical. All of you matter. We are on equal playing field when it comes to our value in this ministry. So look at Romans chapter 12, verse 6. It says this, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given. And this is the second time that that Paul shares this in Romans chapter 12, this word grace. At the beginning, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. And some of your version might say grace of God. And then he says in verse 3, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly. And so what is this grace that he keeps talking about? Well, spiritual gifts are sometimes called grace gifts. And they come by way of God's grace. They are not earned, okay? They come from him. They are not earned. In fact, you just have to be willing to embrace it and receive it. And I remember, you know, if let's just say my gifts, some of my gifts are mercy, encouragement, shepherding, okay, or pastoring. And so let's pretend like I really, and this happened to me, I really wanted a prophet gift. And what a prophet gift is a prophet is a person who just feels this drive to speak God's word boldly. And I mentioned this before. It's like a prophet will come in and just throw the hand grenade, okay? And then all the mercies have to come and pick up the pieces, okay? But that's a boldness of a prophet gift. Well, what happens if I long to have that gift and I focus all my attention on trying to develop that gift and that's not what God has given to me? What happens if I pour all my energy into that because that's the one I want, but it says by his grace, he's given these gifts to us and he has graciously given them. And instead of fighting and saying, I want something else, I want to be like that other person, instead of fighting it, just say, God, I'm a living sacrifice. And I'm going to live my life holy and pleasing to you. And Lord, I'm going to humble myself and I'm going to have that right attitude. I'm not going to think more highly of myself and I'm not going to think lowly of myself. But I'm going to make myself available and I'm going to fit right into the role that you would have for me to fit into. And so it's important that we understand one of the things that Paul says to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, he says, do not neglect your gift, Timothy. Do not neglect your gift. And we even read here in Romans 12:6, Paul says, let us use them. Did you catch that? Let us use them. This topic, spiritual gifts, it's really about stewardship. You know that? And so we're stewards of this life that God has given to us. And what a steward is a manager. And so as a believer, my life belongs to him. I'm just a manager. My money belongs to him. My time belongs to him. My talents belong to him. My spiritual gifts belong to him. The only thing that I am on this earth as I live out this segment of time is I am a steward of his blessing. I'm a steward of his gifts. And so when I'm functioning and I'm operating with that mindset as a living sacrifice, serving him, he does his work. He does a powerful work for me, through me. And so 1 Peter 4:10, it says this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. There's that word grace again. He has graciously given you this gift. So what are these gifts? We're going to look at a few of these before we close out today. What are these gifts? You're going to notice this on the screen. And so what I did to make things a little more helpful is I broke them down. Really, they're four. They're broken into four segments. We're just going to look at three at this time. But there's the equipping gifts. And this is in Ephesians chapter 4, the apostles. Now, apostles are like church planters, the prophets. The prophets are the ones, are people who just speak God's word boldly, right? An evangelist is the one that shares the good news of Jesus Christ and teaches people, other people, how to share it. A pastor is also known as a shepherd. That is, a shepherd is kind of a caretaker of the flock and walks with people and is a caretaker of their spiritual life. A teacher is one who expounds the word of God. And then, so those are the equipping gifts, and those are offices, and you'll see that I put in parentheses there, they're leadership gifts, okay? So these gifts are for church leadership. So you don't automatically just move into those positions. You are surrounded by others that help to encourage that, and God will lift you up and raise you to those positions. And so insights, what is insights? Well, wisdom, that's you're able to think more deeply on God's truth. There's knowledge. I won't go through all the detail of all of these, but there's faith. There's miracles and healing and discernment and tongues and the interpretation of tongues. And listen, what tongues is the ability to speak a language not previously known, okay? And so when we look at some of these gifts, the ministry gifts, serving and mercy and helps, what helps gift is that when you see a need, you help meet it. When you see an opportunity to serve, you step in and serve. And when you're drawn that way, most likely you have a helps gift, a service gift. And so you want to learn more about this, go to our website, bearcreek.cc. On the homepage at the very bottom, there's what's called a spiritual gift survey. And what I want you to do, because in the month of August, we're going to take a look at the ministries of this church and find some just easy ways for you to plug in. Now, does that mean that you'll be serving every single week? No. We'll create opportunities for you to serve, and it could be just once a year. It could be once a month, once a week. And so if you'll make yourselves available, and this week, and actually I'm going to Guatemala next week, so in the next 2 weeks, if you'll look up your spiritual gifts and write down those top three spiritual gifts, I'm going to help, when we get back, we're going to help kind of move you to a place where you can find your sweet spot. That's what this whole message series has been about, so I hope that you'll plug in and be a part of that. There's so much more to learn about this. You'll find some resources on our website once you click that spiritual gift survey. But so again, I will have that list of ministries at the back table starting next week, and you can get plugged into that. As we wrap this up, you'll notice on the wall here, worship, grow, and serve. Spiritual gifts fit into the serve. And what we say here at Bear Creek is you want to be a healthy believer, you want to be a healthy follower of Christ. A good road to get yourself on is to worship on Sunday here at Bear Creek, grow in a life group here at Bear Creek, and serve in a ministry. And when you do that, God will begin to show you new things through his word, and you'll begin to discover more things about yourself as you're serving, and he'll open up new opportunities for you. Okay, well, I covered a lot today. Did you guys get it all written down? Got it all kind of written out? Let me pray for us. Father, we give you praise. I thank you for the giftings that you have so graciously bestowed upon every believer in this room. And I pray that you will send all of us on a journey to discover what our spiritual gifts are. I also, Lord, just thank you and praise you for the natural abilities and talents that you've given each person. And may everything that we do, how we use our time, how we use those natural abilities, and how we use our spiritual gifts, may all of it be stewarded for your glory, to build up the body of Christ and to advance your kingdom. We give you the praise today in Jesus' name. Amen.